Hi, kia ora, Shane, and welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really worried at the moment at the way that race is being used in this upcoming election. In particular, some of the statements that have been made by ACT and amplified by National, but now almost taken to an extreme by Winston. And it occurred to me that ACT was in 2014, its party vote was 0.69. In 2017, it was 0.50, like not even a point. And in 2020, it was 7.59. And now it is, I think it was about 13% at the last poll. And it's been running this campaign around the country, a dog whistle campaign, where it's using coded language to really say, you know, let's take our country back. And what they mean is take it back from Māori. You know, let's stop Three Waters, meaning let's stop Māori having a say in water. And I just wanted to get your take on, you know, what's worrying me is, we've all seen this before, but in your experience, does it last? Like, what's the impact of this kind of campaign on Māoridom in the long term?
Donna, you were at the forefront of the movement in the 60s and 70s that saw a lot of the advances that we take for granted in 2023. Mm. It's taken three generations to build that up. It could take one term of a right reactionary government to overturn a lot of that, where he will use language that Māori ought not to be treated any different, that we ought not have selection based on race, and that's basically significantly undercutting or undermining Te Tiriti and our tangata whenua status. So I don't think we can underestimate it. He is quite dangerous in two respects. He's an ideologue, and he will no doubt, if the polls stay as they are, be in a position of absolute, be in a position of power that we haven't seen a coalition partner be in for quite a long, throughout MMP. So, yeah, I am worried about it. Every day as the election gets closer, I feel that the die has been cast that Labor will not be in a position to govern, even with the assistance of Greens and perhaps Te Pāti Māori. So I just think that we ought to be concerned. Winston's policies or announcements are just as bad as X, but he does tend to talk tough on the election trail, but be quite moderate in terms of where they govern. So I'm not so worried about Winston. Given the race baiting that ACT has undertaken, and just as concerning, their very neoliberal economic agenda, I think we're all alarmed and concerned.
Yeah. You got any ideas? What can Māoridom do?
Oh, look, we just got to get out and vote. We've got to get out and vote. I think that will be the significant issue that will determine who governs, and that is a lot of the core left vote, I think, will stay at home. In 2005, on election night, Labor won they won by 0.8%, and then when it was all tallied up, they won by about 2%, and that was as a direct result of the Māngares, the Manurewas, and the Manukau East, what we call the three M's turning up. I don't think that there is enough energy and policy to get that turnout. And I think similar result happened in 2008. So I think, first of all, we've got to vote. And secondly, I think we've just got to organise. And then old-style campaigning and old-style protesting and holding our ground, I think that's what we need to reactivate and re-energise ourselves and recognise that most of our achievements haven't actually come as a result of politicians thinking, shit, that's a good idea. They've come about as a result of activism and boots on the ground. And I think we've been a little bit spoiled over the last 10 years, and we need to rediscover our activism roots.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, that I'm glad you referenced back to that 2008 election, you know, because really, who would have thought that it would be, you know, Trump like that? You know, 34% for Labour. I just thought that was, I thought that they were actually going to come through, and they didn't. Never mind. My concern is, I'm just wondering whether, you know, we've got it in us. Like, one of the things that I've come to realise is just the level of our own, you know, colonisation. Because there's one statistic that stands out to me that I always keep in the back of my mind, and that was in 2018, the last Māori language survey that was national, that was done by Minister of Education at Te Puni Kōkiri, found that in the Bay of Plenty, for example, 60% of Māori thought that te reo Māori was not important or not very important. And, you know, that's 60%, and that's our own language. And so the idea that they've already prioritised English and Māori has no value or very little value, you know, that's the state of a lot of Māori thinking. We've kind of gone over, for many Māori, the colonisation process is almost completed, and there's very little of their drive for, you know, those ancestral heritages that really make us unique, that some of us are just not one bit interested. And, you know, when it comes to voting, they're just as likely to vote for an anti-Māori sentiment as anyone. And so that kind of thing, is there enough in the 40% or in the, you know, whatever it is, the 5% or 3% who are going to vote to Party Māori, who are able to step up and provide some leadership?
Well, yeah, but you know what? I do. I think we understand that. I think that we understand our concerns, but there is some hope. Look, if we look at the boomers and those above in terms of age, you know, there are some concerns that they've been left behind, that they find the Māori world, the white cultural world too confronting. And I don't think we're going to win them over, but Pākehā, Pacifica, our newer immigrants, under 30, they don't have that hang up. You know, I was having a kōrero to my daughter, who's 15, and I was telling her that about Nada Glavish's story, that the Prime Minister wanted to sack her simply because she said kia ora as a toll operator. And that we thought that the world was coming into an end because Heniwehi Mohi sung our national anthem in te reo. Now, these things are norm. Now, they do anger the patriarchy, you know, mainly older Pākehā men that used to have very high status in society, that now, you know, there's more sort of equilibrium. But Donna, I have a lot of people, I love a lot of hope in our young people, and I think that's where transformative change will take place. And I'll tell you what, they will be our leaders when it comes to activism. And one prediction I will make as a result of a right-wing government coming to fruition is the rebirth of activism. And I think in many ways that will be a good thing for Māoridom and a good thing for young people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm hoping that that is what happened. But do you remember when Don Brash was saying his stuff at Orewa? And
Yes,
I can remember. I can remember when I joined the march in foreshore seabed, coming into Wellington into Parliament, and I simply could not believe how many people had come out. You know, my nieces and nephews had driven down. Very conservative, you know, teachers, doctors, lawyers, not the sort who get out and march, but they actually came out, and it was, you know, the way that he said it, it hit them, you know, it hit a chord with them. And so people who normally don't march or demonstrate, they actually came down to Wellington on that foreshore seabed.
Yeah.
You know, I believe there were more than 20,000 people there on that day. I've never seen anything like it. And I think that David Seymour, I'm hoping that something similar is going to happen, that, you know, they get so upset by what he's saying and the insults that he's making. You know, the claim that he said, you know, we need to get more people in prison, so it's pushed to get more people in prison.
Well,
he had the cheek to say that Māori were the greatest victims, so it's going to benefit Māori. And, you know, I thought immediately of Rhonda Sanctus, who said, you know, when they've changed their curriculum, and now they're now saying in Florida that slavery was a good thing for blacks because it enlightened them and it got them out of Africa. And I'm thinking, he's actually doing that same thing to us. He's pushing you know, something that's ugly and bad and saying, oh, no, it's actually good for Māori. Imprisoning Māori is good for Māori.
Look, we know, Donna, that jails don't habilitate or rehabilitate people. They criminalise and they get people in the system, and very few people, once in the system, come out better for it. We know that. And we know that our prisons are full of people that have been abused by the system. And we look at the Royal Inquiry that has taken place, and the hurt and the mamai, tens of thousands of our people. So, you know, we know the realities, and we know that we know that we are resilient, and we will see through the next term of this government. Here's the other thing I'm hoping, and I think what will happen is this, that by and large, Māori members of Parliament, I'm talking about Labour and Greens and the Māori Party, by and large, they agree on, the kaupapa is the same, and they will agree on most of the issues. The delivery tools, they may disagree on. But I think that come post-election, a national act coalition will unify Māori voice within Parliament, and they will have a common goal. Common goal will be to make the National Act government as short as possible in terms of their tenureship. Now, the other thing is that Act and National have indicated that they're going to rip apart public service and public spending, and they'll talk about sort of extreme issues like someone had a party and farewell for $40,000. But look, that's peripheral stuff. The only way you can save real money is if you gut the basics. That'll be health, that'll be education, that'll be welfare, that'll be social, superannuation, because those are our big spend items. Yeah. And there is no country in the world, I'm talking about, you know, moderate countries like New Zealand, like Australia, England, etc., where those type of cuts have been so heavy and governments have survived long term. So, you know, I'm fearful, but I have a lot of hope, Donna.
I'm so happy I've got you on, Shane. I've had this little knot in the pit of my stomach for a week.
Yeah.
I just thinking, oh my God, it's so ugly. And I've also been, you know, being older, I've been here before. Yeah. You know, I've seen Muldoon play this game, John Key play this game. It's just dirty. I mean, even Helen Clark, with her, you know, putting the sheep above us, and what she did on foreshore and seabed was just so gut-wrenching. And, you know, just thinking, we are finally, I feel, at a tipping point, at a turning point, where we are, you know, having a say, where we've got providers like Waikato Tainui, yes, who are making a serious difference in Oranga Tamariki, and, you know, reducing uplifts by 60%. I mean, what an incredible achievement. You know, you've got Ngaika who doing, connecting their tamariki whakapapa-wise. You know, you've got this Eastern Bay of Plenty lot over here who are also, yeah, you know, joy. We've got, we're actually, my God, making a difference. Phenomenal.
And, yeah. And, he,
and
here's
so
the other
I
thing.
Want that to continue. And, I'm just fearful that.
So do I. Yeah. But also, Donna, as a result of treaty settlements and many of the provinces, the key economic drivers, hapu and iwi. Now, if you were to take Ngatia Kahununu out of the economic equation in Here Tonga, that economy will be a shadow of its former self. We look at we look at a very small settlement in terms of dollar terms, and that was Ngāti Awa, and what they've managed to do with their farms and Awa Nuiarangi, a major employer. You know, the Māori economy is critical. It's critical to New Zealand's overall well-being. And I think that's something that the right underestimates. And the other thing I think, Donna, if we're sort of prophesizing, that there will be a few Māori that will be parliamentarians, particularly in the National Party, that are moderates, that may not just sit idly by and allow some of the policy put through to occur. Mm. So we might see some trouble in their own ranks, but time will tell. I fear that it's too late for the left to try to come back in terms of the polls. But Donna, you never can tell. And remember, we still haven't even got into election campaigning. And I think that head-to-head, this will be almost presidential-type election. I wonder whether Luxton's lack of agility, his inability to hold a political line will be showing up, and as opposed to, I think, the Prime Minister, although he does have his own weaknesses, he does come across as authentic and real. So, you know, we're not really into the campaign season. We're not going to, normally that doesn't hit to 3 weeks out, so we've got a couple of more weeks to go.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope, you know, I can only hope. I was pleased to see that the Greens are holding their own now. They are at least steady and not too bad. So we just need Labour to bounce back. But, you know, they need to get they need to get bloody serious about what they're doing. Like in Rotorua, the National candidate, he's got all his billboards were up day one, all over the place. The Labour Party man, he's sleepwalking his way through. He's got a few, you know, he's got a few up here and there, but the message he's sending us is that he's not in it to win it.
Well, look, you
get
just
on
have to look
it.
At, yeah, but also, you know, you also have to look at the donations. Big businesses back in this government, the Natson Act, big end of town. But I think what they've failed to do is capitalise on a call for New Zealand, from baseline New Zealand, that we should all pay our fair share of taxes. And I think the time was right for some sort of capital gains tax or a property speculators tax or something like that. In terms of activity on the ground, I think that's been rather undermined by the fact that ACT National have been able to raise a hell of a lot more money, Donna.
Right. Oh, well, never mind. You know, we can only hope.
Donna.
Shane, what is What is your role? Do you have any role in the party anymore?
No. About 5-6 years ago, I thought, I'd do a little bit of commentating, and I thought it was best if I don't hold a official role within the party. I give people advice from time to time.
Yeah.
I did something unusual for myself at the last election. I voted Green because Greens, and I probably will do that again in terms of my party vote, because I think we are in the middle of a climate crisis and we need some radical change. We can't just tamper at the edges. And we see what happened down your way, Donna. We see what happened on in the Tairāwhiti. And Māori in particular have been at the centre of the outfall as a result of climate change, and we've got to confront it.
Yeah. Okay, just one last thing, Shane.
No.
I've been writing lately. I did a follow-up to my... I wrote a book in 1981.
I know it well.
I asked myself the question, what are we on about? Because, you know, I was in demonstrations. I've been arrested so many times. I was in and out of the courts for 2 bloody years. And I thought, what is this? You know, what's our struggle? And so I come to the conclusion, my struggle, which I'd been involved in for 10 years by that stage, was Māori sovereignty. So I wrote that. And now I'm having a look back and saying, you know, where are we at in terms of achieving Māori sovereignty? What are the barriers in front of us and what do we need to do? So I've kind of been doing that. And one of the things that I'm coming more to the conclusion of is that Ngā Tiki Mai, you know, the constitutional change stuff that Margaret Mutu and are running out on, that in actual fact, that is a beacon. That's where we need to be heading. Now, have you got any thoughts on, you know, how does this resolve itself over the generations?
I mean, we're not going to achieve it straight away. I think it resolves itself from the first sort of comments that I made. And I think that we have relied on parliamentary change, mechanical change the last 10 years too much. And I think it resolves itself through activism and on-the-ground activity and doing the many things in the past that has led to our success. But also, I think in 2023, we have a benefit that you didn't have, Donna, in the 70s and 80s. And that was a lot of Pākehā allies. I think we've got a lot of Pākehā allies, particularly when it comes to Mātauranga Māori and the preservation of our whenua and climate change and mitigation and fighting against it. So, you know, I think that we've got that on our side, and maybe it just took the uncomfortableness of a centre-right government that wants to attack one of the fundamental pillars of Aotearoa, and that's we do want to look after ourselves. We do want a public health system that, for warts and all, sort of gives us some form of equity. So I think it might motivate us to get organised.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the advantages of the Māori Health Authority is just that it's going to provide a lot of jobs for Māori. You know, when I look at organisations like MPI, which is really looking after our economy, is still primary based, and yet you've got wall-to-wall whiteness in there. There used to be 6% Māori, it's now down to 4%. That's on Race Miss Watch. And basically all Māori have been driven out of there because it's become such a racist, pro-white organisation. Wall-to-wall whiteness, and the way they do their consultation is just disgusting. I mean, it's just tick the box and very cynically, you know, done. And it's every department where you had a lot more Māori in the public service than we have now. And what could a kaupapa have done for us, kohanga, provide a lot of employment opportunities, because the public service is one of our biggest, you know, employers. And so that's one of the things I see in us, you know, having our own health centres, our own social work, social providers, is that, you know, we are providing jobs for ourselves. And I don't see that stopping any time soon. given that, you look at ordering a tamariki, it's completely failed to achieve all of the reforms, have failed to achieve it. But Māori get in there, hello, suddenly, Ngāi Tahu and Ngāti Kau and Waikato Tainui, they're achieving incredible results. So that's the way of the future, I see.
That is the way of the future. And we saw that we had real issues when it came to vaccinations over COVID. When Māori organisations were given the resources, they delivered for the entire community. All right, Donna?
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, thank you for that, Shane. Lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, lovely having a kōrero, Donna. And
thank you so much.
And look, what I do look forward to, and I'm pretty confident of this, that our people will get organised, and I think that there is another surge of activism that will be cast upon us, and in many ways I look forward to that. Okay then, kia ora koutou.
That's great. Ka kite.